It was like any other day. Sheep to feed, pastures to find, doing your best to keep out of the hot, searing sun. But this was going to be the day that totally changes the life of Moses. Last week, if you remember, we left Moses at Midian, dejected, disappointed, full of fear. He genuinely thought that God wanted him, when he killed that Egyptian guard, wanted him to do that, wanted the Israelites to follow him, but it never happened and he was forced to run away. And away he ran into the desert, a place where probably the Egyptians couldn't be bothered following. And Moses needed time to think. A short time, maybe a way to formulate his next strategy. But God thought differently. Fill-in number one says Moses spent 40 years in the desert. If you want to break down the life of Moses, you can break it into three 40-year periods. 40 years in the household of Pharaoh, 40 years in the desert, and then 40 years wandering with the Hebrew people in the wilderness. The evangelist D.L. Moody had a bit of insight into these 40 years periods, and I'm going to use his comments as fill-ins. Fill-in number two, he said, the first 40 years, Moses thought he was somebody. Living in the Pharaoh's palace, he thought he was somebody. Fill-in number three says, the second 40 years, Moses learned that he was a nobody. And number four says, the third 40 years, Moses discovered what God can do with a nobody. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, you might not reach 120 years like Moses, but we're probably, if we're honest, in one of these three stages. And you can have a think for yourself to say, where am I? What stage am I honestly at? We might not say it openly, but some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, see ourselves in the first category. We're a somebody. You know, we're pretty good at some things. And if people would just realize my gifts and their need, then we'd get along a lot better. And that's where some folk are. Maybe some of us see ourselves in that second phase. Well, I'm a bit of a nobody. And maybe you think God can't use nobodies. He only uses somebodies. And to be fair, God has used me in the past. He's given me a chance to be used, but I've blown it. I'll probably never get another chance. Ever find yourself saying that? Maybe that's me. That's where Moses is in our story just now. But you've got to see that the story is not finished. And it takes a bit of visual jiggery-pokery by God to show Moses how wrong he was. And I'm hoping that we can see that we don't have to experience all these three stages or wait until we get to 80 to arrive at stage three. It seems to be a day when folk are asking you what you were doing in specific dates. 1979. What were you doing then? Let me remind you some of the things that happened in that year. Remember the Three Mile Island nuclear disaster? Happened then? The game Trivial Pursuits was launched. Margaret Thatcher became Prime Minister. The first nudist beach was established in Brighton. Oh. Yeah, okay. I know some of you weren't born at that time. But from a way back then until now, that's the time scale that Moses was in the desert. He's been working as a shepherd. He's now married. He's got two grown-up children. And as far as we know, God has been silent. Now, you've got to see that. From a way back in 1979 until now, what a time has passed. For Moses, God was silent. And then,
Take the sandals from your feet. For the place on which you stand is holy ground. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
You were born of my mother, Yocheved. You are our brother.
I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry.
Stop it! Leave that man alone!
So I have come down. Deliver them out of slavery and bring them to a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey.
Stop it there.
And so.
Remember last week we were talking about getting these videos and everything in books for kids and grandchildren. There's one. Francis, write it down for his squealow when this baby comes. We might see the next part next week. I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is what God says to Moses. Now, here's a question. Would you like to see God? Put your hand up if you'd like to see God. Yeah? Yeah? Oh, you have a thing. Let me know. You tell me later, she says. See that? You tell me later. Okay, we'll hear your story later. So, who would like to see God? Well, I don't know. Because I've always thought I would until I started looking at people who had seen God. Because most of the people who are confronted by God or even a representative of God, for them it's a trouser-wetting experience. Moses trembled with fear, and he did not dare look. Abraham, he bowed down, face touching the ground. Gideon, when he realized he had seen an angel of the Lord, he was in terror, and God had to reassure him, "Peace, you will not die." Isaiah, "There's no hope for me." Ezekiel, he fell forward to the ground. I love this one. The disciple John who knew Jesus, John who wrote the book of Revelation, when he's confronted with the risen Jesus in Revelation, it says he falls down on his feet like a dead man. Now, nobody who has met God face to face in some way has it described it as a nice experience. So I don't know. I'm sitting on the fence. Hard to imagine what Moses must have thought. We've had that 40 years with no contact at all. And there he is, face to face with some kind of apparition of God. And terrifying though it must have been, it must have brought all those memories back from 40 years ago. The 40 years that I bet Moses had tried to forget. And I think more than that, Moses probably thought that God has written him off in these last 40 years, found somebody better to carry out his plans. But God says, "I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their groanings and I've come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." And Moses, after 40 years in the desert, had reached stage 3. A nobody, but about to discover what God can do with a nobody. You feel sometimes that maybe God's forgotten you. Or that maybe you're low down on his priority list. You've got to hear this morning the promises that are contained in God's word to Moses. And I think we can personalize these promises for ourselves. Because what God is doing is really revealing his character. Fill in number 5, he says to Moses, "I have seen your situation." I have seen your situation. You think for 40 years, I don't know what's been going on. I have seen your situation. And the same God is aware of your situation, whatever it is this morning. God knows what's going on in our lives, in our church, and in our country. God is aware. And fill in number six says, I have heard you cry out. Because again, we can feel that God is not listening. Time and time again, I keep bringing these prayers to God. I keep bringing my concerns about all these things. And sometimes you think it gets no higher than the ceiling. Has God forgotten? Has God turned his back on Scotland? God is listening. God is still listening. Fill in number seven goes on to say, I know all about your sufferings. And this is one that some of us have got to hear, because sometimes nobody but God knows what we are going through. Our friends might not know, our families might not know. But make no mistake, this morning you've got to see God knows. And in God's time, God will answer. Because in fill in number 8, it says, I have come to rescue you. After these 40 years of nothing, I have come to rescue you. And it's sometimes so hard dealing with life problems. Doubly hard when we think God is remote. But you've got to rest assured this morning. God knows your situation and he will rescue you. Because God says he's got a plan for every single one of our lives. And we've got to find out what that plan is. We've got to find out what his plan is. And I want to leave you with a promise this morning in Jeremiah's day. And I think it's a promise for all of us who believe in God in this day. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Some of you got to claim that verse. That's what God is saying. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God wants to do for all of us. And when we are seeking his will, we can bring this verse to him. What is it for me, you can say? Because that's where Moses was. He was at a total changing time in his life. What difference had the 40 days in the wilderness made to him? Well, in Egypt, he cut a fine figure, educated, in a position of authority, near his prime, with probably the best years of his life ahead, he thought. And then any kind of plans that he had made, fueled really by self-will, they were just all burned up. And his future that he thought was very quickly consumed. And he's now 40 years on. He's weathered, he's battered. Nothing to prove, and probably he thinks little to give. And God calls Moses, and his simple reply was, I'm here, or it's me. He's forgotten his CV, and Moses has little, if anything, to give just now. Remind me, what age is Moses now? 80. Man. This is for the young 80-year-olds among us. You know, get home and have your lunch and then just get your sandwich ready. And there's a bush. 80-year-old and he's just starting. So, you know, some folks say to me, oh, I've done my bit. You never done your bit. There's more bits. 80-year-old. Shepherd, out there on his own. I've got a wee job for you to do. Take a whole nation. So he does. Because if you look at it humanly, it seems a bit crazy. We've got this 80-year-old man, burnt out, in the desert. Now, be honest, what church organization or what vacancy committee is going to call him? You know, really. Not even Kirkconnell or Sanka. It's not going to happen. Well, you know, a couple of months, I might say, yeah, take that 80-year-old. Folk would be crazy to take on board someone who's done nothing for 40 years and is now 80, and all of us think we'll be past it. You want to know something? Our God is a crazy God. You've got to see that this morning. Our God is a crazy God because he does crazy things with crazy people. And Moses standing there beside that burning bush, still not sure, still don't know what's going on, still probably with his hands over his face And I think God smiles, because he's about to tell Moses something that Moses hasn't realized yet. And we've got to get that. It's not the bush that's important. This is what we've got to see. It's not the bush that's important. It's the flame that's in the bush that keeps it burning. In fact, here's a pastoral message from your minister. Any old bush will do. That's what God is saying this morning. I can use any old bush as long as God is burning in that bush. And that's good news for some of us. Because we spend all our time pruning and grooming and fertilizing, going to growing bush conferences, studying horticulture in the postmodernist greenhouse. And the truth is, God says this morning, any bush will do. Because if I'm in that bush, I can do great things. So he says to Moses, Moses, you just stand where you are, because you're on holy ground. And you watch and wonder and see what I can do for you. I can burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and not be extinguished. And that's what Moses was going to see. And we'll see next week what God is going to do in and through Moses. And what I want you to take away this morning is quite simple. For God, all we need to be is burnable. Burnable and available. Why? Because any bush will do. Amen.